Welcome to the first episode of 2022, Good, the Bad, and the WTF, what I'm thinking. Now, we do have to explain why we have taken an extended break, and I'll let Peter explain why. No, he doesn't want to explain why.
Do I have to explain?
But to be fair, you were the one that you were down with it worse than me, so that's probably why.
Very true.
Yeah, so we both had COVID, unfortunately. So from the 27th until, well, quite recently, to be fair, we were fully out of it. Like, if we would have done an episode, it wouldn't have been an enjoyable episode to listen to. Let's just say that much. It would have been
all to record.
Yeah, low energy, coughing, sneezing, sniffly. Yeah, just listening to anyone who's very bunged up can be quite an ordeal, can't it? So we didn't bother. But we'll come back with a banger today, haven't we?
Yeah, and we didn't even watch anything. I barely watched anything during that period.
Yeah, disappointing. We watched something, but we'll get into that. But we were going to go and see The Matrix, but we couldn't leave the house, so we didn't. So The Matrix was a movie I was looking forward to seeing as well, so I'm actually a bit annoyed that I haven't seen it yet. But
yeah, me too.
Yeah. Oh, well. I'll get around to it. But I was hoping to see it before the year ended, just to, you know, see it in the cinema properly. But we move. But before we get into today's episode, which is going to be a top five of 2021 and a top five to look forward to in 2022, I'll let Peter take it away.
Yeah, obviously we've got sad news which came this week, but of course you're hearing us from the week after, of the great cinematic duo. I don't think they ever worked together. Oh, no, they did work together in one movie, but Peter Bogdanovich, film director, filmmaker, and Sidney Poitier, a classic actor, both passed away, unfortunately, this week. I just wanted to give our little thoughts on it because they're great titans of the industry. Peter Bogdanovich made one of my favourite movies, The Last Picture Show. Mm-hmm. And Sidney Poitier, such a charismatic actor, made great movies. Obviously, a trailblazer at the time with In the Heat of the Night, Guess Who's Coming to Dinner. Won the Oscar for Lilies of the Field, first black man to do that. So it's... I mean, they lived a good life. I mean, they lived a good age. So, yeah, it's always a shame when titans fall, even if you haven't seen them for a long time.
Yeah, arguably the first of the year as well. First of 2022. So that is quite sad when it happens that early into the year, isn't it? You know. Brings it all home. But yeah, he was a legend. So there you go. He died a legend, and he was born a legend. Let's just hope that this year isn't full of these moments, because it's always sad when you have a year, which is, I mean, everyone remembers what was it 2017 or 2016 when there was just so many greats who just passed away. Some
it always happens
so soon. Yeah. It's always sad when you have like a year dominated by that. But first of the year, Sydney. But we'll talk about some
and
more.
Don't forget Peter Bogdanovich.
Of course, of course. But we'll go into the more positive stuff, shall we?
Yeah.
Let's talk about. We'll start with 2021. Let's start with 2021.
Is that our positive start?
Yeah, for movies.
Okay.
There was some...
Okay.
Well, was there... I'll say before we get into this list, I do have to say, because of the year that we've had, I haven't actually... It's probably the least I've been to the cinema in the last year. Maybe 2020 was probably the year I barely... I think I went to the cinema like twice in 2020. But in terms of like things being open, 2021 was probably the least I've been to a cinema. Yeah, for a long time. For a very long time. So yeah. my top five is based on movies I actually saw. So don't come at me. And I've done it in no
particular order.
What do you
mean, movies you saw? Well, I'm glad you did put movies you didn't see.
Well, this is what I'm saying. I can't put down movies that I didn't see. And there were obviously better movies that came out this year than my list. But these are the five I enjoyed. Let's just say that much.
Yeah.
I think my
I did like a proper review of everything I saw. I tallied up how many movies I saw last year, and it was 23. I saw 23 new movies.
That's not great.
And it's not. I mean, three in the cinema. Saw three in the cinema, better than last year, which I saw one. But I think the last 2 years of cinema for me have been quite a problematic period. For two reasons. Obviously, the biggest, the elephant in the room is the pandemic. That's the biggest reason why it's been hard to go to the cinema, and movies have been pushed back and movies have been stalled from being filmed. And I also think the streaming platform, or you can call it the streaming wars at the moment, is another factor. Some of these movies just drop and you don't even know they're on there. And there's so many places, you know, you've got Netflix, you've got Amazon, you've got HBO Max, you've got... I've drawn a blank. What's it called? Apple TV, and then there's Peacock and Hulu, and there's so many platforms at the moment. And can you? I mean, logistically, I don't know how other people feel about this, but can you really warrant owning all of them platforms? Because I don't.
It's expensive.
I have about five. And yeah. I've told myself I'm not going to have more than that. Disney Plus is another one I forgot. I'm not going to have more than that, but maybe if one starts to dry up, I'll trade it for another.
Yeah, it's hard to warrant having all of that because it is expensive. It's kind of annoying. It was easier when everything just dropped in the cinema, wasn't it, really? It was way easier. But yeah. Obviously, things are being exclusive to like Netflix, Prime, whatever. You know, there's obviously... So movies have changed. I can't imagine how much money they actually make from it. I guess Netflix probably pay pretty big for certain movies, and they probably do all the production costs as well anyway. So probably is helpful for them. But I don't know.
The kind of movies they're putting on their platform, they're not the, unfortunately, and it is a bit unfortunate, they're not the movies that people are rushing to the cinema to see. And I'm not saying that in a bad way. I'm just saying that their original content, they're not big blockbusters. They're not franchises. Nobody, for example, The Irishman, I know that's a couple of years ago, but The Irishman, which Martin Scorsese struggled to get made, it's not a movie that people are rushing to the cinema to see, a three-hour gangster drama.
Yeah, I recently saw it in isolation. Like, it took me being locked inside and not being able to leave the house for me to be like, okay, I'm going to watch this movie now. I actually have the time. And I watched it all in one go. And do you know what? It is an amazing movie, but I know what you mean. Like, those sort of movies, they aren't the big blockbusters anymore. You know, the big ones that you see excitement around are like the James Bonds, the new Spider-Man. The new Spider-Man is the most excitement I've seen built around a movie. It built so much excitement around it that I wanted to see it, and I hadn't really loved the first two. I didn't really love them. I thought they were okay.
Yeah, they're not as good as the Sam Raimi ones, in my opinion, but I think they're fine.
They're good, yeah, but it wasn't enough for me to be, oh my God, I must see this movie, I must queue. Like, there were a lot of people that wanted to see this movie, but I still haven't seen it yet. I'm sure... I will see it, because I did like the first two, but I wasn't like crazy about it. Like, I don't know. Am I missing something? I don't know. I've never been a big Marvel guy anyway, so that's why.
Spider-Man's it's a big product, isn't it? Everyone likes Spider-Man. The Marvel stuff, obviously this is Sony as well. They're big at the moment. Anything they release is pretty much going to gather attention and people will want to see, and it will be on the sides of buses and billboards all over the country, let alone the world. So, yeah, there's always a big appetite for those kind of movies. And other movies do struggle. There was a great movie that struggled this year, which is one that I want to talk about later on. Went to the cinema and nobody really saw it. And it's a shame because it's a great movie by a great director. It's got A-list actors in it, but nobody wanted to see it.
Let's get into it then. I mean, that's a good segue. Let's go. Have you done yours in order? I haven't done mine in order, I'll be honest. I've done mine just randomly.
I just wanted to pick movies yeah. that I liked. I didn't even do like a top five because, I'll be honest, the same with if we did 2020, I can't legitimately say I had a top five yet because I don't think I've seen the best movies of the year that, in my opinion, would be.
Mm.
Like, for example, I haven't seen Licorice Pizza. I'm pretty sure that'd be in there.
What, for would that be for last year? That came out this year.
Yeah, but this year is last year.
Oh, I see.
We're in 2022 now.
Yeah, that's what I mean. That movie came out in 2022. That didn't come out last year, did it? In 2021?
Well, no. It came out in America in 2021, but maybe here it's 2022. It gets confusing.
It does,
when we start
it?
Talking about release dates, because I've got some movies that are like that technically were in the Oscar race last year, but they released this year. So it's all confusing.
I think it came
There's
out,
a lot of confusing things.
It came out on New Year's Day. It did come out, I guess, it came out in November in the US. Yeah, there's always that weird borderline thing. I didn't include this movie, yeah. but speaking about Licorice Pizza, I do... No, in terms of like movies I'm looking forward to seeing, I do want to see this movie, so...
Yeah.
But I didn't include it because I wasn't sure whether it was last year or this year. It's too on the nose. It depends where you are in the world, I guess. But I really want to see that movie. That'd be good. That'd be a good movie. But
there's so many movies.
I'll let you go first for 2021. What movie do you want to talk about first?
There's so many. There's so many good and bad ones to talk about. I want to talk about my best cinematic experience and go for the one that might be number one, might be runner-up, I'm not too sure, is Dune. I love this movie. I really did. I guess it's one of their movies that I don't know where to place it until I see the second one. Because if the second one's bad, then it's going to be less likely that I'll watch the first one, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
It's almost like when it's a chaptered franchise, for example, Lord of the Rings... If The Return of the King was a terrible movie, you would never watch Fellowship of Two Towers again, would you? Because why would you? It would lessen the experience because you know it ends badly. So for me, Dune's a hard one to place at the moment because I need to watch the second one. But on the terms of a cinematic experience, the grand scale and just how big everything was, that was impressive. That's a movie that needs to be seen in the cinema. And to see it on a little screen... I just think would lessen the impact. So I'm glad I saw that in cinema.
I do want to see that movie. I didn't get around to seeing it the week that we before we did the podcast on it. I just didn't get a chance to. I think it was when I was moving, wasn't it, when it came out?
It was.
So it was a bit of a tough week. I didn't really have the time. I was doing a lot of stuff. But I know that this movie, you can stream this movie. It's like a premium rental. It's an expensive premium rental. So I would probably recommend going to the cinema because I think it's still in certain cinemas. But I really want to see this movie. I'm glad I didn't see this movie because I think it probably would have made my top five at somewhere along the line. But I also want to start with a blockbuster movie. And it was a movie that divided a few opinions, I guess. Some people were angry. Some people were... pretty settled on it. I liked the movie personally. James Bond, No Time to Die. It was a delayed release, wasn't it? It was meant to come out in 2019, I think, wasn't it? End of 2019? No, start of 2020. Start of 2020, sorry. It was meant to come out April 2020 and it came out September 2021. And I think they did a good job of waiting and not trying to give it that release during that little lull period where the cinemas came back and you had to wear a mask for the whole movie and all that stuff and you had to be like two seats apart. They did well to wait because I think when I saw it in the biggest screen in London. I think it was the biggest screen in Europe, it might even be. It's one of the biggest screens in Europe. And I saw it in IMAX and it was a very good movie to see in the cinema and that experience. And it's the most packed I've ever been in a cinema for a long time. I couldn't see an empty seat. It's one of those weird moments where you're in the cinema and you the lights are kind of like there's like a brighter bit of the movie and you kind of look across and you see all of the faces staring at the screen, and it's quite a surreal experience when you look at everyone. Mm. When you start thinking to yourself, when you're in a packed cinema, you think, we're all just watching this movie together. This is kind of weird. It's
great, though.
It's great, but it's kind of weird. But
that's what cinema is. It's a collective experience. And weirdly enough, I'm reading the book, actually. This is a plug to you, because your girlfriend gave me this book for Christmas. Mm. I've been reading that book, and they talk about the fact that cinema is a collective experience. And the whole... It started off as being a basically like a circus show. Mm. That's how cinema started. And I do think... Again, I am a cinema fan. I do think that movies are funnier in the cinema, and they're scarier, and they're just better. I think when you have this collective group, like if a scene's funny, like at home you laugh at it, but it just amplifies when you're with other people. It just feels like you chuckle more. I equate it to like if you go to like a stand-up show. Yeah, it's that thing of that collectiveness.
Yeah, yeah. I saw The Inbetweeners, the first movie, when it came out in the cinema. I was lucky to be old enough to see it. And it was hilarious because I watched it on like a Friday night, and there was a few people in there who obviously had a few drinks beforehand. I think it's probably a good movie to go and see when you had a few drinks in you. And people were roaring with laughter at that movie. And I loved it. And I've watched it many times, The Inbetweeners movie. I think it's a fantastic movie.
I think so, yeah.
It's just hilarious. I completely agree. I also think as well, when you're in a cinema and you're told to put your phone on airplane mode, it's like an unwritten law as well amongst... And like, obviously, people, they say, put your phone on airplane mode or like shut it off or whatever. And, you know, you're meant to do that when you watch a movie, but there are people that don't. And those people are dicks, right? All right?
It's in the slammer. It's in the slammer.
Yeah, those people are big dicks. And that's what I like about cinema. I actively turn my phone off and I put it in my pocket and I don't look at it until the movie's over. The lights come back on.
Focus more.
Yeah, I like to be engulfed in the movie and not miss a single thing. The worst is when you're sitting there watching a long movie and you feel that you need to go for a wee, and then you're like, oh, fuck. That's the worst feeling. But I have had to go for wees for certain movies.
I try not to eat or drink when I go to the cinema.
Yeah, normally
I've always tried to avoid that. No, it's only if you're with somebody that you feel the need to do that, but normally I try to not.
Normally I can pretty much hold it. I think one movie I did, I desperately needed a wee for, and I went for a wee during, was Us. And it was because it's quite a scary movie in a way. And anytime, like, as most cinemas are, there's a lot of mirrors around cinemas. And when I went to the toilet during Us, I was just looking at the mirror, looking at myself again.
I don't trust you.
Yeah, I was kind of in the moment. I think I did it during It as well. I went for a wee during It Part 2. And that was another. When you need to go for a wee during a scary movie, you feel like you're in the movie. It's stupid.
Say is, it's a good job you didn't do it during Candyman.
Yeah,
because you might get the urge to just go Candyman,
and then stop. I would always stop after the second of it. Nah, I can't do it.
I can't remember if it's three or four, so I probably would stop after the second one.
Yeah, but
just in case I got the numbers wrong.
Exactly, but yeah, No Time to Die. I loved it. It's one of those movies. Like, it's one of those movies that everyone you pretty much know will go and see it. So it's always a good movie to talk about with your friends because everyone's seen it. And once everyone's seen it, you can fucking start talking about it. That's another unwritten law within the movie going world, is that you don't know spoilers. I think if you give spoilers away, you're another dick into the slammer.
That's all we do on this show.
Yep,
we just give away spoilers.
But no, but that's different. You're tuning in to listen to someone talk about a movie. There's going to be spoilers. Like, it's your own fault. But No Time to Die is a good one because it caused a bit of a debate in a few people I know. Some people hated it because they're like, "How could you kill him off? How could you do this, that, and the other?" And then here we are. I mean, everyone's seen the movie by now. Sorry if you haven't seen the movie, but come on. I will put in the description spoilers. All right, so There is warning. I'm going to put spoilers in the description of this.
That's the one thing I will say about that movie. Anytime, or at the time when I watched it, like, people would say, oh, does he die at the end? That's the one question everyone asks me. And I always think, like, what would I tell you? And it's a hard one because you've got to now say, oh, I don't want to spoil it, but you kind of do because of the way you say it. It's like, yeah, he does die, but I don't want to tell you officially that he's dead.
I mean, if you have those suspicions, you're going into it thinking that the whole movie anyway. I kind of thought, are they going to kill him? And then as it got to the end and it happened, I went, oh, they did actually kill him. But I quite liked it.
In the funniest way ever. I think it's the funniest death ever because it honestly feels like Daniel Craig just said, look, I'm not coming back to the next one.
Yeah.
Blow me the fuck up.
Yeah, make it impossible. Make sure
that it is absolutely impossible that it'll ever be in another James Bond movie again.
To the point where they had his funeral, you know?
I'm surprised they didn't have, like, body parts of him just flying down, like seeing his head just, like, fall down on the rock or something and his arms and everything. They should have had it,
yeah, with his head just comes and lands in like the sand next to her feet.
Next to his daughter.
Next to his daughter. She goes, ah, and then the movie ends. But
yeah. We have all the time in the world. But, and then just
that would be a great way to end.
Land on the screen.
But yeah, a lot of people have hated this movie because of that reason, and I think it was a good way to end this chapter of the James Bond. And everyone's saying, they're going to come back. It's not going to be James Bond anymore. It's going to be something else. I'm just like, if they want to make money, they're going to have to get a new Bond. Like, that is the way to do it. You hire a new Bond and then you reboot it again and then you're making loads of money. If you're like, this is now the 00 universe and then it's... I think it would just... saturate it a bit, and I don't think they'll get as many people wanting to see that movie.
Well, Amazon own James Bond now, so of course they're going to do something with it. I think there's going to be a TV show, definitely.
Really?
Probably more for the other 007.
I don't think they should do that. I don't think they should do like the Star Wars thing. Like the Star Wars thing works because of how
they're going
to
do
how big the Star Wars universe is, and there's so much to explore, and it makes sense to make shows about that. That makes sense.
To be honest, James Bond is just a normal universe.
Yeah, but it's just a normal universe. Like, there's not like it doesn't really go much deeper than their. You know, I mean, the movies what they're about, they aren't that deep, really. It's not like, oh my god, this is crazy. Like, all these worlds.
You could make it deeper.
You could make it deeper, but I like a James Bond every couple of years, and then it becomes a bit of a spectacle to see in the cinema. It's one of those movies that I'm like, oh my god, I have to see this in the cinema. And I've seen every single one since. What was after Quantum of Solace? What was after Quantum of Solace?
Skyfall.
Skyfall Spectre, I always get them too mixed up. Skyfall. Saw that, and ever since then, I've seen every single one in the cinema without fail. Because I kind of fell out of love with James Bond, and I watched Casino Royale, and I was like, "This is amazing! This is exactly what I want the movie to be about now. Not corny and cringy. Like, this is actually a proper movie." But it's
been up and down.
Yeah, it has its moments.
It's always been up and down.
I even liked Quantum of Solace. Like, I actually enjoyed that movie, even though a lot of people hated it. I kind of enjoyed that movie.
Hang on for our ranking episode on that one.
There you go. But yeah, James Bond goes in my top five. I think it was worth the wait, is what I would say.
Yeah, I liked it. I really hope it's not gonna happen. I really hope that we don't have another James Bond movie for at least 10 years.
Yeah, I agree.
I feel that ending, for me, I'd love it if there was never a James Bond movie ever again, because I think that ending's so final.
Yeah.
That I just think, like, if in 2 years' time there's a James Bond movie, I think that makes No Time to Die lesser, and I think that will hurt that movie. So I hope it doesn't happen.
I would love that. I think everyone, there's great actors who could be James Bond at the moment, but I think wait a little bit. I agree with that. Wait 10 more years, and then there's going to be loads more options who may even be better for James Bond. So that's the way. They're not going to do that because, you know, it's business. But
no,
I hope so.
Three years. I give it 3-4 years and there'll be a James Bond.
They'll announce one within 2 years, I think, yeah. Yeah, they'll definitely announce one. What's your next movie?
Okay, so my next movie is a movie on Netflix. It's touted as being an Oscar player, and it was really good. I was really blown away by this movie. It's called The Power of the Dog.
Okay.
Directed by Jane Campion, starring Benedict Cumberbatch, Kirsten Dunst, Jesse Plemons. It's a movie that it's a slow burn. It's a slow sort of psychological drama. And really, I don't really want to say too much what it's about, because I think it's the twists and turns of the story make it interesting. So if you find out about it, I think it makes it lesser, but I want to see it for a second time. I haven't seen it for a second time yet, but the second time, it will be the make or break for me of how great this movie is. But I just thought, it's beautiful. It's so, I mean, Jane Campion's a great director. She probably win Best Director this year. Benedict Cumberbatch, it'll be tight between him and Will Smith who wins Best Actor, but I think this is the best I've ever seen Benedict Cumberbatch. I've never been a huge fan of him,
yeah,
but he was really good in this movie. And it's just a great movie. It's a movie that 20 years ago they made, and it's great that they're still trying to make movies like this. I like a slow burn. I like a movie that has this atmosphere and this underlying tension, and you're not really sure what it is. And until the end, then you go, ah, I understand. But that's what's great about this movie. And yeah, I was pleasantly surprised. I knew it was going to be a big Oscar player. You know, when those movies that are touted as the big players, you watch and you go, but this one was actually, it lived up to the expectation, and probably more, I would say, probably more.
I've not seen it. For my sins, I haven't watched many originals that have been released. Was this a Netflix original?
Yeah, it is on Netflix.
I haven't watched many, because there's going to be a lot of movies that I really want to see, like King Richard is another one. Tick, Tick, Boom, West Side Story, those sort of movies I really want to see. I just haven't got around to seeing them yet, which is... Which is
The Lost Daughter, another one I want to see.
The Lost Daughter, I do want to see that. That looks very interesting, actually. House of Gucci is another one I almost saw.
Yep.
I kind of...
Same here. I almost saw it, but didn't.
But I do want to see that. But a movie that I think we should talk about is Don't Look Up.
Yep.
Because we've both seen that. I don't know if you've included it in your list. This is another movie that is divided.
I have.
Divided.
To be honest, two of yours I've already had in my list. So I've got a long list. I told you this. my list is not really a list, but just a collection of movies. Well,
just
23
things.
Movies I saw.
Just things
I like.
Yeah, Don't Look Up. Another movie you want to see is Belfast. So that's another movie you want to see. But Don't Look Up. Yeah. This is... I'd be intrigued to see how this goes down in the Oscar nominations. I know obviously it's had a few Globes, hasn't it? You get a good idea of who's going to be in the Oscars with the Globes.
Very divided, this movie.
But yeah, this is divided. I think this is critically has done all right. Audience wise, is also done all right. So it's kind of like, I think that there's a border between some people love this movie and some people hate this movie. There's not many people who are like, yeah, it's a good movie, you know, it was all right. You know, most people have a strong opinion on this movie. I think this movie was great. I think it nailed exactly what it would be like if that actually happened. The political side of it was spot on. I think it was funny. I think it has some good performances in it. I think Jonah Hill was probably the least funniest person in it. He was kind of like dude character, wasn't he? That kind of like, but it was kind of like quite obvious lines and quite stereotypical lines. So it wasn't great, but Jennifer Lawrence was brilliant in it. Leonardo DiCaprio was brilliant in it. Has he ever not been brilliant? The scene when he's screaming on live TV about, you know, when it's just him, she did it, and then he has his breakdown on TV as well. That scene is really well acted. And it's clearly something he's passionate about as well, because obviously the movie is about global warming, which is something we know Leonardo is extremely passionate about. I thought it was a fantastic movie. A fantastic movie. I think it could have been good in cinemas as well. Obviously watched it on Netflix and came out on Christmas Eve, but brilliant, brilliant movie. It was an ambitious movie, definitely.
Very ambitious.
Very ambitious. But I think they pulled it off. I think they pulled it off.
I'm a huge Adam McKay fan, and it's really interesting when you see a director's trajectory change. Because there was always this argument. I always remember a critic saying this. I think it was Robbie Collin that said this, that he said that Will Ferrell is only really good when he's with Adam McKay. Like, when those two are together, that's when they produce their best work. And that is a strong argument, because you look at when Will Smith wasn't with him, his movies faltered a little bit. Well, those two together just knew how to make great movies. When you think of Anchorman, I can't ever know how to pronounce it. The one where he's the NASCAR driver.
Talladega Nights.
Talladega Nights.
Ballad of Ricky Bobby.
Step Brothers.
Yeah.
Just great movies. And then he changed. He did a course trajectory, and he made The Big Short. He made Vice. And he's made Don't Look Up. And he's got another movie coming out, I don't know when, with Jennifer Lawrence, which is, I think she plays an entrepreneur. So he's really going down this road. And it's so interesting, because he's so sharp. And this is the most ambitious. And I thought Vice was pretty ambitious when I first saw that movie. Mm. But this is even more ambitious.
It's incredibly ambitious. It is weird to see his change, isn't it? Obviously, Anchorman, as your first... your directorial debut is phenomenal debut. Like, that is a classic. That's a cult classic. Everyone.
And that movie was a mess. I mean, when you read it, the script, they just threw away. It was apparently nobody liked the script. So they just went, just make it up on the spot. And they made one of the funniest improv movies probably ever.
Yeah, it's hilarious. It's the most, one of the most quotable movies ever. Obviously, the other guys is... not spoke about as much as like Step Brothers and Anchorman and probably even Talladega Nights, but I think that movie was hilarious, and that's one of the key examples of Mark Wahlberg for me being a really good comedy actor. That was one of the first movies I saw and thought, bloody hell, yeah, he's actually hilarious. Like he is good. He is very good. And I think obviously in Ted as well. I love Ted. He's funny in Ted. But yeah, the change was dramatic, wasn't it? Because obviously he directed Anchorman 2, and then the next movie he directed after that was The Big Short. So he had those, he sort of did some writing and some producing in between, like Get Hard, which was not a great movie. Ant-Man I never saw. And then, yeah, he went to Big Short.
Yet, either.
But yeah, it was a big change, but you've got to respect it. He's obviously a talented director, a talented writer, so... It's a big shift. Big shift. I wonder if we'll see.
I predict a screenplay nomination, because he's quite loved by the Academy.
Yeah.
I mean, Big Short, he won an Oscar for that. He got nominated for Best Director. Same with Vice. So I think a screenplay nomination will happen.
I think the satire seems to be quite favourable in the Oscars as well, doesn't it? That especially like script wise. So yeah, I think you're right.
It's very punchy.
Yeah,
it's very punchy.
It's very punchy. Very ambitious. I think a lot of people who work within the film industry will appreciate what he's done with this movie, definitely. Maybe not so, because I've spoken to a few people that have seen this movie, and yeah, a lot of them hate it. I was actually the only one me and you are the only two people I know personally that enjoyed this movie. I know a lot of people that hated it because they thought it was unfunny, the script is crap, it's stupid. I think people are looking at it surface level, like they're seeing Ariana Grande.
I just got the joke.
Yeah,
I got the joke straight away, yeah. And I think that was probably what it is.
It is a big joke. It's a great movie, great cast. Even Ariana Grande is good in this movie.
Yeah,
I
think it's a big studded cast, and they're doing a lot of interesting stuff. I'm not saying this is a perfect movie, but they're kind of my movies where they're not so neat, and there's some bits that you say, does it work, does that work? And you go, yes, no, highly ambitious. Is it too ambitious sometimes? Is it too long, perhaps? But I still look at the movies I saw last year and still say, it's still one of the better movies I saw last year.
Yeah, 100% one of the better movies I saw last year, yeah. Yeah. I thought it was brilliant, yeah. I actually thought it was brilliant. And yeah, Adam McKay, Perfect. Perfect. I really like Jennifer Lawrence as well. I think Jennifer Lawrence is one of those actresses I see in movies, and I tend to enjoy the majority of her performances. I think she is.
Yeah.
She's quite selective with her movies, isn't she? She comes and goes. You don't see her.
She took a long break.
Yeah.
Before this movie, didn't she?
She did. You don't see a great deal of her these days, really. Like Joy was a very good movie, which I loved.
Hmm.
I never saw Mother. I actually wanted to see Mother. I never saw Mother.
Love it. But she, love Mother.
Good in Hunger Games. Good in X-Men. American Hustle. Loved that movie as well. Silver Liners Playbook. Another great movie. She's every movie I see her in, I'm pretty much like, yeah, she's done well. She nailed it. She nailed the performance. And Leo as well. Leo, we had a debate about Leo. Do you think Leo's catalogue of movies is one of the strongest going? Because I think... You look at the movies he's been in. He has got one of the strongest catalogs. So him, Robert De Niro, Samuel Jackson, and Leo.
I disagree.
It's pretty strong, though, isn't it?
I disagree with De Niro and Jackson.
Really, De Niro?
He's made a lot of iffy movies now and then.
Yeah, but he's been in some incredible movies.
Yeah, but I, if you're looking, it's hard unless you look at it structurally and you look at every movie, and then it's hard. It's hard to, like, if you had to ask me who's probably got one of the most interesting catalogs, it's probably Daniel Day-Lewis, because the man is the most selective man in the world.
Yeah, and Daniel Day-Lewis. Because of that,
I think Leo's got a good case. I think he's worked with a great director. For a lot of his career in terms of Martin Scorsese. So that does help him. I think he's a good case until we do a ranking episode of Leonardo DiCaprio, it's hard to pick out the less known one to know if they are decent enough, you know?
Yeah. Yeah. I think, I'll give you that. I think you're right. I think just probably from... If you look at the 2000s onwards, he's been in some fantastic movies. You're talking from Catch Me If You Can, which I really liked. And then you got...
Love that movie.
Gangs of New York.
I hated it when I saw it in cinema as a kid.
Catch Me If You Can.
I remember going to that... I remember seeing it at high school. I think it was, it was like my first year at high school. And a group of our friends were at the front, sitting there. And then there was a group of girls that were also in our year sitting just ahead. And... They obviously went to see it because it was a Leo movie, and I think that was that little bit of Titanic aftermath, that he was the poster pretty boy.
Yeah.
He was a teenage heartthrob, but I think that was like, this guy sucks. And I think that dampened it, but from then on, I obviously went back and I love that movie. I think it's actually one of his better movies, I have to be honest. But I do think he has changed from that teenage heartthrob to what he is now.
He's one of the child actors that has really been so consistent, if you think about it. Like he's been incredibly consistent from his childhood to now, and he finally got that weight off his shoulder by winning an Oscar in 2015.
Yeah,
finally. I mean, everyone knows it.
For a movie he probably didn't deserve to win,
it wasn't
for,
the one. Yes, yeah, it's still not his best one, is it? Like, he's like, even something like Shutter Island, like he could have easily been up for that. It's just, obviously, it's just all about the year, isn't it? You can't compete with some of the people that have won. Some of the people that have won have definitely deserved it over him. But and he's obviously going to be in the new movie, Killers of the Flower Moon, which will be, that'll be interesting. Is that meant to come out this year, actually?
Yeah, that's an Apple movie.
It is
quite an expensive Apple movie.
Yeah, it's a very expensive Apple movie. That's another De Niro as well. Another De Niro. Brendan Fraser's in it. Brendan Fraser's a comeback king, isn't he?
I'll talk about him a little bit later on during the 2022. So my movie to talk about is the one that I alluded to a little bit earlier on. It was a movie that didn't do very well in the cinemas, but I saw it was on Disney Plus. I was on Star, but it's on my Disney Plus account. It's called The Last Duel by Ridley Scott. It's written by Matt Damon, Ben Affleck, and Nicole Holofcene. It is a Me Too movie, which is interesting. It's sort of like Rashomon. It's the same story but told by three different viewpoints. So you got basically Jodie Comer. Do you know anything about this movie?
Or should I actually don't say what no, it is? I don't really know a lot about this movie. I know that Ben Affleck and Matt Damon wrote it. That's all I know.
So Jodie Comer plays the wife of Matt Damon. This is like 17th century France. And she gets raped by Adam Driver.
Oh, yeah.
Now, it's told in three perspectives. The first is Matt Damon's side of the story. Second is Adam Driver's. And the third is Jodie Comer's. And it's such a great movie. It reminds you of, like, it's back to, like, Gladiator. It's that kind of territory for Ridley Scott. And I think he's really good at this kind of medieval sort of drama. And the dude's 82. He made two movies this year. I mean, that deserves some sort of recognition. I mean, he honestly is the busiest director out there. He makes like a movie every year, sometimes two movies every year. The dude is unstoppable, and he's 82 years old.
He's 84 years old.
84.
which is obviously even more incredible. He did make two big movies, didn't he, this year? Last Duel and House of Gucci. Yeah. That is impressive. But before that, he hadn't made a movie since 2017.
Yeah, well, there was a pandemic.
We'll let him off there.
Two movies in 2017.
He did, yeah. And then obviously he made The Martian as well in 2015. 2015 was a good year, you know, for movies.
Yeah.
2015 was actually a really good year. He's an impressive guy. Adam Driver, do you like Adam Driver? You an Adam Driver fan?
Oh, he's in my opinion, he's one of the... He might rival when you're saying, look at the catalogue. Look at Adam Driver's catalogue. He's pretty good.
He's building a good catalogue. Like I think he's too soon to say.
For me, he's one of the best actors working today. He's one of my favourite actors working today.
He's one of the most... not diverse. What's the word I'm looking for? Bit of a Day-Lewis, isn't he?
Yeah, I think he's... I can't think of a film where he's been bad in it.
No, I think you might be right.
Even like Star Wars, like he was the best for me. Kylo Ren is the best thing in Star Wars new trilogy. I was never completely sold on a lot of it, but he was always consistently good throughout.
What was the movie I saw with him in that I really liked? It was quite early on. Was it While We're Young? Is that the movie I saw him in?
Yeah, yeah.
Is that where he's...
He was in that one.
What's the movie where he's... there's a couple and they're kind of like... They become friends of an older couple. They're a young couple. While We're Young, yeah.
They're like... He's like the hipster couple and Ben Stiller's the older couple.
That's it. That was...
Noah Baumbach.
That's it. That movie... I love that movie. That was one of the first movies I saw him in, actually. Yeah, I think that was one of the first movies I saw him in.
And he had an incredible year as well, by the way, Adam Driver, this year. He made three good movies, another one I want to talk about later on as well.
Annette? Is that the one you watched that over Christmas, didn't you, Annette?
I did.
You did, yeah. I remember that. Obviously, Star Wars he's good in. I haven't seen A Marriage Story, but I've heard good things about that as well.
Oh, that's great. That's great.
Good things about that. Yeah, he's good. He's had a big year. I think we should... credit the people that have had a good 2021, so we'll put him in that list. He's had a very good year.
Yeah, him, Ridley Scott, Ben Affleck as well. I think Ben Affleck is really good. The character he plays in The Last Duel is really interesting. He doesn't play the lead, he plays the supporting role, but it might be the best performance in the movie, in my opinion.
There you go. But he does steal the show a lot of the time. He's also very likable. If you've seen him in interviews and stuff, he seems like the kind of guy you'd have a drink with and have a good time, you know? He's that kind of guy.
I heard him on Howard Stern recently, and I really did enjoy his interview there.
He's good. He's the kind of guy. My next movie I'd like to pick is... it's the first movie I saw of the year, another delayed movie because of the pandemic, and it was A Quiet Place 2. And I liked the first one. I really liked the first one. And I think this one was better than the first one, I would argue.
I haven't seen it yet.
Have you not seen it? I thought you had seen it.
I saw the first. I haven't seen the second yet.
Okay, I won't go into details, but yeah, this was another great movie. Obviously, John Krasinski directed, and his own wife is in it. But yeah, this is great. This is a great movie, and obviously they should make a part three. I assume they will. And it'll be interesting to see what he goes on to next as well from this. Won't it? Because he's directed Quiet Place 1, Quiet Place 2, and then he's done like a few sort of movies, The Hollers, which he directed. But yeah, he's going to do another one. But it'd be good to see where his career as a director goes from here, because he's quite a young director, isn't he? He's quite new on the scene.
And also a good actor as well. I think he's underrated as an actor. I think everyone thinks of him as the funny guy, but I think he's a lot more than that. There's a lot more to him than that.
There is. He's kind of proved that in these movies as well. Obviously, he's written the character for himself. But yeah, so that's coming out in 2023, the next Quiet Place spin-off is what it's called. Untitled spin-off. This was obviously a prequel to the first one, but... Yeah, great movie if you haven't seen it. And it's a good movie to see in the cinema as well, because you really feel the tension of the silences, which you probably wouldn't feel as much watching from home. Because in a room full of people and a big speaker and the scenes that are quiet, you feel them. Like it's an eerie feeling of silence, isn't it, when you're in a movie. You kind of feel a bit uncomfortable, like you have to shuffle around and make a little bit of noise. But yeah, Quiet Place 2, I put it there.
Good one. I've got to see it. I haven't seen it yet. My one is Judas and the Black Messiah, which was a big heavy hitter of the Oscars earlier on. I think Daniel Kaluuya won Best Supporting Actor. It's honestly a great movie. It's about the Black Panther leader, Frank Hampton, and the FBI informant played by Lakeith Stanfield. Absolutely great. I mean, I think Daniel Kaluuya is a great actor. I think he's really, since Get Out, which was his sort of breakout, he's really elevated himself and shown he's got a great, he's a great actor. And I think Lakeith Stanfield, everything I've ever seen Lakeith in, I think he stands out. Even in his small little scene in Get Out, I thought he was one of the most interesting ones in it. It's directed by Shaka King, who, honestly, I'm looking forward to his next movie, because I thought he directed this perfectly. It's probably... I really liked it. I thought it was a great movie. I was pleasantly surprised by it. Again, it was a big Oscar player. It was nominated for Best Picture and all of that, and I wasn't sure where it was going to fit for me. Was I going to like it or not? But it turned out that I did really like it.
I haven't seen this movie. It's another movie that I wanted to see. For my sins, I haven't seen many of the critically acclaimed movies of the year. I've seen a lot of crap, but crap that I enjoy. But this seems like a very, very good movie. And like you say, yeah, another new director on the scene, isn't he? He's only like 40, which is, I guess, quite young for a director still, isn't it? Right. He did a film in 20...
Produced by Ryan Coogler as well. So Ryan Coogler is a big reason this movie got made.
Where is he on here? Do you know who I think is going to have who's going to have a big year this year? Jesse Plemons.
He's always had a big... I think he had a big year this year, and I always think he's a great actor, to be honest. Really like him. He always grows on me.
He hasn't had a... Has he had a starring role yet? Has he been the main guy in a movie yet? He's been in, like, supporting roles, hasn't he? He's not been in many main roles.
I'm not sure. I mean, I haven't seen every movie, but he is a big factor in a lot of movies. I don't know if that's a lead role. Like, I've never seen... I'm thinking of Ending Things, and I haven't seen a lot of other movies that he's made. I'm not too sure how big he is in those movies, but I do like him when he's on screen, when he's in The Power of the Dog, for example. He, you know, you look at him and you watch him seriously, and you're waiting for like greatness to happen.
He is good. He is very good. Looks like Paul Thomas Anderson as well. Not Paul Thomas Anderson. Not Paul Thomas Anderson.
Philip Seymour Hoffman. And he played his son in The Master. That was yeah. Great casting.
That was good casting. He looks like him. Paul Thomas Anderson. What am I thinking?
Other harsh one is they always say he looks like a fat Matt Damon.
He does.
It's quite harsh.
He looks like he's wearing like a Matt Damon mask, doesn't he? Like, I wouldn't say fat. Yeah. It just kind of looks like a fake Matt Damon. But yeah, no, he's a very memorable guy, isn't he? And he's... I didn't know he was going out with Kirsten Dunst either, which is just something I've learned just now.
They have a child together.
They have two. They have two kids together. He could have another big year. Keep your eye on Jesse Plemons. My next movie is probably a movie you didn't see, and it was good. It was on the same sort of lines as the Inbetweeners movie. People Just Do Nothing, big in Japan. This movie was hilarious. I don't know if you ever even watched the TV show.
I think I watched a couple of episodes, but I never got into it yet.
You never got fully into it. I think this was a example of brilliant British comedy in terms of like the TV show is quite unique in its way. It's got a bit of Inbetweeners, a bit of Office about it. But the movie, and you're always afraid when they do a movie of a TV show which has been so successful, whether it's gonna be the same. I also like if you make a TV show into a movie, you have to make it like an extended episode. You have to make it feel like an extended episode with a bit more of a budget behind it. And that's exactly what they did. This movie was hilarious and so just great. And I think they could do another movie and it would still be good. But yeah, this was a big one, and I found myself laughing at a lot of things from this. And obviously Asim Chowdhury is one of our favorites as well, isn't he?
I like him in most things I've seen.
He's brilliant. He's absolutely brilliant. He's a really good actor, like not just a comedy actor. I think he's actually a really good actor. Well, we saw him in Happy New Year, Colin Burstead this year, didn't we? Well, that's the first time I saw it. To be fair, this year I saw a lot of movies not from this year, but I saw a lot of movies for the first time this year, I'd say. Probably thanks to this podcast, actually. We've watched a lot of crap, actually, haven't we? We have.
Not everything's been great, but some things have been.
For the first time, I've watched a lot of stuff. Let's just say that much. But yeah, that movie was very good. And I think he's another one to keep an eye on. I think now that this show's sort of done and the movie's done, he's going to be going on to that next chapter of his career as well. So I think Asim Chowdhury is going to be someone who's going to be around a lot and probably... I think he'll be in some good stuff. I don't think it'll be too long till you see him in more of a lead role in a movie.
My next one is Annette. Great movie. Mm. It's the weirdest movie. It's from Leah Carell, who made Holy Motors. He's a rare... He doesn't do a lot of movies. He has like a long hiatus in between. It's written by the Sparks Brothers, who are musicians. They had a bit of a year as well, because they had a documentary that came out earlier, directed by Edgar Wright.
Mm.
So they've had a bit of a resurgence this year. This movie's about a stand-up comedian, played by Adam Driver, and an opera singer, played by Marianne Cotillard, who fall in love and produce a baby who is a puppet. Which is very weird. It's a full-blown musical. Everything is a song in it. It's about nearly 2.5 hours long. It's weird and wonderful. And it's one of the movies that you either like it or you think this is shit. It's a very divisive movie. And I think I got to... I can't remember what point, but there was a certain point in the movie where I just went... I really like this movie. It just won me over. I think there's just a moment in a movie where you're like, I just like it. I think it's brilliant. Like everything that you thought was weird and wonderful, everything just sort of clicks in one scene. And you go, you know what? I do like this movie. And it's hard because these movies, they're hard to get made because, I mean, like, if anyone's, like, investing in a movie and you say what it is, people are going to be like, and how am I going to get my money back? Because there's nothing here that is commercial. This is a weird, wonderful movie. The songs, they're not songs that you can sing to. It's not like Muppet's Christmas Carol. These are not songs that get stuck in your head. These are songs that only work in terms of the content of the movie, and they're not catchy songs. I just thought it was beautiful. I thought it was daring. It's visionary because Leo Carrell is such a visionary director. He makes movies that you really just, you either love or hate, but you totally respect because you can see the art. You can see the brushworks. And yeah, I really enjoyed it.
I saw bits of this movie because you had it on while I was there. So I saw bits of this movie, and this is when I was suffering with COVID, wasn't it? Was this when I was suffering with COVID?
It's the best time to watch the movie. I was suffering with COVID. Maybe it's because of COVID and the trippy aspects that helped. Yeah,
it was good. He's kind of like a Jodorowsky with a budget, isn't he, in a way? He's got that kind of like...
Yeah, it's a good comparison.
No unapologetic sort of cinema. Like, I'm going to make this my way. Holy Motors is another one he did, isn't he? Which is very very similar in that vein. You love that movie. I've not seen that movie yet, but I need to see that movie. He could be a good ranking list in the future because there's quite a few. He's made some movies. Yeah, he's made some movies over the years, hasn't he? Since like the 80s.
Oh yeah.
To now. Oh, yeah. So it could be a good journey to go through with his movies, definitely.
And I think there's only like seven, I think.
Which will make him more interesting, yeah.
Yeah, because it's obviously he takes a long time to make a movie. I always find that interesting because there's obviously, I don't know whether it's because it's hard to get finance or whether he just likes to have a period of relaxation.
Probably, I respect that. Probably a period of like making the next thing, isn't it? Making the next project, the next daring project he wants to make. So I respect that. It did look like an interesting watch. It looked like he seems like he's a character to work with as well. I imagine he's an interesting character to work with.
It was great. It's one of their movies that you remember. Like, even if you don't think it's a top five movie that you've seen that year, it's one that sticks with you.
Yeah.
So it needs a mention for me.
My final one, and I think we should skim through a few of these now to get to 2022, otherwise we'll be talking for forever on last year.
Of course.
My final one is a documentary, and it's a documentary that holds a special place in my heart because it's about my favourite human being that's ever lived on this planet, Arsene Wenger. Invincible. This was a great documentary if you saw it. If you like sports documentaries, I'm a massive sports documentary nerd. I will watch documentaries on sports I don't even watch. I felt like I was the biggest basketball fan in the world when I was watching The Last Dance.
That's great. And like, that was a great
that documentary. That was great. It was really good. And just like I love all that behind the scenes sort of stuff. So yeah, this was just really good. This is just a really well put together documentary and something that I was looking forward to happening the moment he announced he was leaving Arsenal. I knew that we would get a book, we would get a documentary at some point, and it came sooner than I expected. But yeah, I think he's just a very interesting manager and one of those managers who you appreciate him more when he's not there than maybe in the final years of his time at Arsenal. He wasn't quite as respected as he should have been by a section of the fan base. I'm not going to say all the fans, but by a section of the fan base. So yeah, this was just a really great documentary to kind of learning a bit more about him as a person as well, because he has a personal life, believe it or not, behind the scenes. And it's an interesting one because it goes into details about him not being that close with his daughter, him not being that close with having a relationship with his ex-wife, but how it all sort of fell apart as well, mainly due to him being selfish. So it's quite an open documentary where he talks about quite a lot of stuff, and then you also learn about him growing up. And I've got his book. I've read his book, his autobiography that he released. I read that as well. So it was good to follow on and hear it in his own words as well as reading it. So yeah, Arsene Wenger documentary. Loved it. Loved every second of it.
Cool. I haven't seen it, but I didn't even know there was a documentary.
Yeah, it's exclusive to, I think it's on Amazon, but you have to pay for it. But
Okay.
Yeah, you have to pay for it, but yeah, worth it. Absolutely worth it.
So a little, just go for a few movies quickly that I thought were honourable mentions. Let's say The Green Knight for David Lowery. I thought it was an interesting sort of Arthurian legend. Parts of it worked, it didn't. It was, I liked it. I liked what it was trying to do. The Mitchells versus the Machines, which was an animated movie on Netflix. I liked it. I thought for it won me over by the end. I think it had a lot of heart at the end, and it won me over on the scenes that maybe I didn't like so much. So we had that one. Azor, which is an Argentinian drama. Really enjoyed that one. Disappointing movies for me. Halloween Kills, I think we both agreed. That one was a bit of a letdown.
I'll give it one thing, though. It was good to see in the cinema near Halloween. That's it. That's it.
Yeah, you had a good story for it.
Yeah, I did. Yeah. If it was a movie that I was desperate to see and I wanted to experience it in the cinema properly, I would have been pissed off if that was the experience I had. But for that movie, it made it a bit more, I guess. It gave it a little something. But I do agree. Halloween Kills, the clues in the title, he's killing, but come on, he was killing too much, if anything.
It kills a lot of people. It just wasn't scary enough.
It wasn't scary.
Godzilla vs. Kong was a bit disappointing. I didn't enjoy it, and I was hoping I would, because a lot of people liked it, but I just found it uninteresting.
I didn't write down the movies that I didn't like in 2021. I'm trying to wrap my brain around it. Have you got any more?
Yeah, The Tomorrow War, which was a movie that Paramount made, and they sold it to Amazon. It stars Chris Pratt. And they made it for like $200 million. And it's terrible. I can't believe they spent that much money on it. It was a bad movie. It honestly was a bad movie. It was a movie that if it didn't have Chris Pratt in it, you could see this being a direct-to-stream movie.
Yeah.
The Protocol Soldier thing we watched.
One movie I did see that I forgot I saw it, actually. I didn't like it. It was crap, to be fair. It was another Netflix original, Red Notice. I don't know if you saw it with...
It just didn't interest me. Ryan Gosling and Dwayne Johnson.
Ryan Reynolds.
Dwayne Johnson. I just thought, it's going to be too on the nose.
And it was. It was a bit shit, to be fair with you. But he loves releasing shit movies, don't he? Free Guy was another shit movie he released in 2021.
I didn't watch it again. I just wasn't... I don't know where I sit with Ryan Reynolds, so I'm not that interested in a Ryan Reynolds movie.
I think I like him, but I don't like him at the same time. I don't know what it is. I don't hate him, but I don't... he makes a lot of rubbish movies. He really does. He makes a lot of rubbish movies. So, apologies there. I actually think I know what my worst movie I saw last year was. Home Alone, Home Sweet Home.
Yeah.
It's the worst. It's not only the worst movie I saw last year, it might be the worst movie I've ever seen.
It's not the worst movie I've ever seen, but it's a running contender for the worst.
I'm passionate about how much I hate this movie. Another movie which I know was crap that I didn't see, and I'm just not going to see it because I just don't want to be annoyed. And that's the new Space Jam, but just don't want to see it. Because I know it's going to be bad, and it would just annoy me.
America, the Motion Picture, didn't like that one. That's another movie.
That was crap,
really
wasn't it?
Down there.
That was crap.
Didn't enjoy that. I thought that was stupid.
No redeeming qualities.
Another one that I'm not sure where I sit with it. I watched it. It's a weird movie. I wanted to love it, but I didn't in the end. I don't know if you know this one. Willy's Wonderland?
No.
By Nicolas Cage. Basically, Nick Cage plays this guy who doesn't speak through the whole thing, but he comes to this like abandoned like Chuck E. Cheese kind of place where he's told to be the janitor to look after this place for I can't remember how many nights because his car or I can't remember if it's his car or bike broke down.
All right.
And the guy will fix it, but he has to stay at this place, Willy's Wonderland, for like 3 or 4 nights. Can't remember. And in the middle of the night, the animatronic robots come to life and kill. And every night, he's killing the animatronic robots. It's a weird movie that I want to love, but I don't really know where I sit with it because it is a schlocky bad movie. It's made to be a schlocky bad movie. It's not. It knows what it is and it knows what's sold to be. But it's really hard to know. It's a movie that maybe if I saw again, I'd be in the right frame of mind. But I was expecting to love this movie and I came out feeling like, okay. Do I like it or not? I like Nicolas Cage and I am a big fan of Nicolas Cage and most things he does I like because he really picks weird movies. Mm. He always has. He's got a weird taste of movies and he likes to be in that lane. That's his lane and he's made a career out of being Nicolas Cage.
Yeah, love him or hate him, he's here to stay, isn't he? That's the problem with him. Before we move on to 2022, one honorable mention for me, which is a movie I actually enjoyed, I didn't think I would enjoy it, was Shang-Chi and the Legend of the Ten Rings. I think it was also the second highest grossing movie of last year. I think the first was obviously Spider-Man. Weirdly, James Bond wasn't up there. It wasn't as high as I thought it was going to be. But yeah, this movie was good. It had its moments where you're kind of like, I would have done that differently. But it was it was an enjoyable movie. It was definitely an enjoyable movie. And probably, I'm not a big Marvel fan, as I've expressed before in the past. This one was okay.
Yeah, I'd say that. It was okay. It wasn't a great movie, but it was fine.
It was enjoyable. But let's move on to 2022, because this is more exciting. Movies that are going to come out this year. And to be fair, there's some decent movies coming out this year.
I'm excited this year.
I'm going to start with one which potentially might not even come out this year, but it's touted to come out at the end of this year, and that is finally Avatar 2.
Yep.
It's meant to come out this year. Now, we haven't seen anything that would signal the movie's even done. Is the movie done?
It's like a myth, isn't it, really?
This movie? There's nothing about it anywhere, but apparently it's coming out in December this year, so we'll wait and see. But I am going to see this movie, even though the first one came out so long ago that it's the mystery of it has kept this movie alive in some regards. I think if they would have released these back to back quite quickly, I feel like this wouldn't be a classic film series. But the myth has kind of kept it alive a bit, because I think the first one was good.
It's going to be interesting.
The first one was good and it was kind of groundbreaking, but it wasn't as good the second time I saw it.
I think it's okay. I don't think it's a classic movie. I think it's fine. I like it, but I think there's a little bit of genius about this when you think about it, because these days franchises and universe building is such a big thing, and because of how long it's taken Avatar to come out, it's actually fallen in line with the movies that are coming out.
Yeah.
Because after this, I think there's four sequels, isn't there? There's like four Avatar movies that come out back to back. So it's gonna be building a universe. It's gonna be chaptered like Marvel. So actually, in terms of the running, how films are being run these days, Avatar fits nicely into that package.
There you go.
So, I'm looking forward to it. King of the sequels, baby. Yeah, James Cameron has made some great movies. He's one of my favourite directors. Love or hate the character, the man himself, he is a bit of a... He's a hard man to like. When you hear him, you can tell that he's not the kind of guy you want to be around all the time, but...
He's been divorced a lot.
The man can make a good movie.
He's gone through a few divorces.
The man knows how to make a good movie.
How many divorces has he had? 1, 2, 3, 4. He's had 4 divorces. That's a lot of divorces.
He's a very stubborn man. I think when you look at the guy knows what he wants in life.
Yeah,
and I think he's very focused. He's a very focused man.
Absolutely. But Avatar 2, let's see. Let's wait and see. Let's just wait and see. Let's just wait and see. Because the last movie he made was Avatar. So he's not done anything in between. There are no excuses for this movie not to come out now, is there? Is there any more excuses left?
I don't know. I think they want to make all the movies at the same time.
Maybe. But yeah, I'm 100% going to see it. So, you know, 1-0 to you, James Cameron. Fair play. What's your movie? Or what's your next one?
It's the movie that I'm the most excited for. This dude, this is his third movie. I just like the way he makes movies. And this is The Northman, directed by Robert Eggers, which is going to be a Viking revenge story. The guy did The Witch. He did The Lighthouse. They're very historically accurate. His movies are violent. They're very weird. They're very trippy. This is going to be a straightforward movie. Although it looks, from the trailers, it does look quite straightforward, but I doubt it's going to be that straightforward. I bet it's going to be gory. I bet it's going to be very hard movie. It's going to be a hard movie. And I'm hoping I'm going to love this movie. I think he's a... the guys I've really put on my list are directors. You know, directors' works that I can't wait for. And I can't wait for The Northman. I think it's going to... I hope... I mean, that's a good thing when I look at the movies coming out this year. There's a lot more movies I'm excited for than last year's. I can't exactly say they were maybe because I wasn't really looking at lists, but this year, compiling this list, I got quite excited.
There's some good movies coming out, some good blockbuster movies. Interestingly about this one is he co-wrote it with a poet, didn't he? Poet, novelist, lyricist.
Yeah.
I can't pronounce his name. Is it Jean? I don't know. Jean Begors Sigurdsson, I think his name is. Icelandic poet. So that's an interesting thing. That looks like an interesting movie. My one is another great director who I think it's actually his third movie as well coming out this year. And that is Mr. Jordan Peele, the movie Nope, which is going to be his third movie to come out this year. And so far, so good. He has produced two fantastic movies, Get Out and Us, two brilliant, brilliant movies. So his third one, Nope. Let's see. I'm excited. I think he's kind of put himself... He's put himself in that category now of becoming a hotly anticipated movie maker, as a filmmaker, so anything he touches at the moment, people are gonna go and see, and you know, it's gonna be highly anticipated. So yeah, I'm looking forward to this one.
Do you know who I think he reminds me of in terms of, and I hope he doesn't have this career, M. Night Shyamalan? It's sort of the same sort of bracket. They make these kind of mystical, they're like mystery thrillers, really. I can't say they're horrors. They're more thrillers.
Yeah.
I'm really looking forward to this one as well. I think it's got Jesse Plemons in it. He was going to be in it. It's got Steven Yeun in it, Daniel Kaluuya, Kiki Palmer. I think this could be very interesting. And also ambiguous what this movie's about. That's also quite interesting.
Yeah, it is quite ambiguous. It's always going to be. I almost don't want to know too much about it before I see it anyway. I think that's a good way to go into a Jordan Peele movie. M. Night Shyamalan, yeah. Interesting career. I know what you mean. I think the early works, like Sixth Sense, Unbreakable, great movies. And then he completely lost his way with Signs, The Village. He kind of just became a parody of...
Events.
Yeah, it's just a parody of The Twist, weren't he? That was his only problem. I think he clawed it back with Split. Really liked Split, but then if you saw Glass, you'd have been like, "Nah, fucked it again. How have you done that? How have you ruined that again?" I didn't see Old either, but Glass was terrible. Sorry if anyone enjoyed it. I hated that movie.
I haven't seen it yet. I think because of the negative reviews, it's put me off, but I really wanted to see it.
Split was good. I recommend Split.
Love Split.
But it was good seeing Split in the cinema. Without knowing what was going to happen. And then, obviously, now that Glass has come out, it kind of ruins Split a little bit, really. Split would have been better just as that and nothing after. I don't know. That's the way I see it, anyway. Glass ruins Split. What's your next movie?
Blonde, directed by Andrew Dominik, who... This guy directed one of my favourite movies ever called The Assassination of Jesse James by the Coward Robert Ford.
Mm.
He's a director who takes a long time in between movies, and this is a movie that has been in the works for ages. I remember hearing about this movie years ago, where it's about Marilyn Monroe. It's a story about Marilyn Monroe, and originally it was going to be Jessica Chastain, but now it's Ana de Armas, who was in James Bond. She played one of the characters in James Bond. She was great in that. I really like her. I think she's great. Interesting choice to play Marilyn Monroe as well. I hope this movie comes out this year. I hope it's great because I think he's a great director. And I'm really just... I just want another movie by him. You know, I really like his movies.
I'm a big fan of Ana de Armas as well. Brilliant actress. Stole the show in James Bond and in her little bit as well. Yeah, she's brilliant. Brilliant. I think she could be a big one. A big one. A movie that I am looking forward to seeing, this movie on a personal level, because it's been a long time coming. And I never got to see these movies in cinema. And that is the new Jackass movie. I love all the Jackass movies. I love the TV show. This is the first, obviously, one they've made since Ryan Dunn passed away. And there's been a few things happening behind the scenes as well, with Bam Margera being kicked off the film. And there's a few new people added into Jackass. I can't wait to see this movie in the cinema. This is one of those things that this is always like a late night favorite when I was growing up, when I was like 14, 15 years old watching this crap. But yeah, on a personal level, I can't wait to see that movie. I know it's not going to be a blockbuster movie that we talk about for the rest of our lives, but I can't wait for the experience to see it. So that's why it made my list.
I'm almost skeptical about this movie, because I just think, will Jackass work in today? And I'd be interested to see if it does work, but I just had the fear it's going to be a watered-down version.
Maybe. I think I don't know if it will, though. We've still Jeff Tremaine and Knoxville and Steve-O. And, like, Steve-O's still doing some crazy shit on his YouTube channel. So I can't imagine it going downhill in any way. Did you see that they did Jackass Shark Week as well on Discovery Plus? That was very good, and they didn't hold back there either. This has like guest appearances from the Dudesons again. Mm-hmm. Eric Andre as well. Eric Andre is a man who definitely doesn't hold back in his content either. So to me, it's a recipe for another great Jackass movie, and you've obviously got Tony Hawk and Matt Hoffman jumping on board once again. So yeah, this feels like the final one. I think this is going to be the final Jackass thing we ever see. So yeah, I think it would go out of a bang. I think so.
I'm eager for it.
I think it'll be good. What's your next one?
Okay, so my next one is another movie. I'm not too sure if it's coming out, but it's great to see him come back. It's untitled at the moment. It's the untitled David O. Russell project. The cast alone is the reason why I'm interested in it. He's reuniting with Christian Bale again.
Hmm.
It's got Margot Robbie, John David Washington, Michael Shannon, Robert De Niro, Mike Myers, Anya Taylor-Joy, Rami Malek, Chris Rock, Zoe Saldana, and the always underrated Timothy Olyphant.
Don't forget Taylor Swift.
Taylor Swift's also in this movie, yes. It's just a movie. It looks like a period piece. I don't know if it's set in the 50s or whatnot, looking at the photos. But if it's anything like American Hustle, sign me up.
Yeah.
Sign me up. Because I think it's definitely that period in David O. Russell's career when he did The Fighter, Silver Linings Playbook, and American Hustle, all back to back. It was just such a strong as 3 years for the man.
Mm.
And if you've ever heard any of the behind the scenes where he has fights with actors, this guy loved improv and he loves provocation. And I find the man so interesting when he makes movies. I think they're so interesting. And at the moment, he can get so many actors involved. People want to work with him. And I like to see his work. I do think, I don't think they're always clean. American Hustle's not a clean movie. It's messy. There's a lot going on in there. Does it follow its script? No, it deviates. I think that's how David O. Russell likes his movies to be. And I like a little bit of chaos. So I'm looking forward to it.
Yeah, I mean, this is his first movie for a while, isn't it? Since Joy in 2015?
Yeah.
Yeah. He's obviously himself has had a bit of a run-in with, you know, something happened that we don't really know. But there was definitely an incident that happened. So he may not be the most popular man in the world.
Oh, I don't know any news about him. So if there's controversy about him, I had no idea.
There is, but we won't get into that. I'll let you guys read up on that and make your own mind. But it seems like it was, I don't know. We're not going to get into that anyway. But yeah, the cast is good. No Jennifer Lawrence, though, who he worked with a lot.
No, I think that's why. I think she was meant to be in it, but I think that's why Margot Robbie's in it. I think she's got the Jennifer Lawrence role. But I mean, come on, man. It's Christian Bale, Margot Robbie, and John David Washington. They're three actors that you just love to see all together. So I'm looking forward to it.
Yeah, it's a good cast. I'll give it that. It's a very good cast. Obviously, we don't know too much about it, but we'll see. Well, it's interesting. It may not even come out, but we'll see. A movie which I'm very interested to see this year, and I think you are as well, The Batman, with Robert Pattinson playing Batman, which I, to be fair, I wouldn't have never predicted him to be a Batman when I first saw him in Twilight. But he's had a really good resurgence in his career in terms of he has got himself out of that pigeonhole of being a heartthrob and sort of just become an actual legitimately good actor. So
same with Kristen Stewart as well. I mean, both of them were heavy Twilight, you know. Even Taylor Lautner hasn't done bad afterwards. I think they've all sort of distanced themselves from that and shown that they're much more than just Twilight.
Absolutely. I mean, it's always good to do that by putting yourself in sort of movies that are completely away from that. So I think Daniel Radcliffe, when he's done that since Harry Potter, it's still hard to not imagine him as Harry Potter. I think that's really killed him.
Same with all of them. Yeah. Like Rupert Grint and Emma Watson, they've all struggled afterwards to really be their own thing.
Which is a shame, because I think Radcliffe is a good actor and Grint's a good actor and Watson's a good actor. But yeah, it's hard. I think they've really struggled to shake the... It's probably because Harry Potter is a lot more of an enterprise than
it's got more
Twilight.
Legs on it, hasn't
yeah.
it? It's still celebrated now. I don't
Twilight's
know.
A bit kind of fallen off now, hasn't it? No, really.
I have no idea how people look at Twilight now. Like, if you're a Twilight fan, I have no idea. But definitely Harry Potter seems to have been passed to generations. I don't know if the same's happened with Twilight. I think it was a period of its time and it hasn't moved from that.
Twilight is like, do you know what Twilight? Twilight's like a phase like you go through when you're a teenager. Yeah. You dress a certain way and you act a certain way and then you kind of grow out of it. That's kind of what Twilight
is.
It's
probably dated. Like, yeah. I haven't seen it for a while, but if I watched it again, it's probably very dated.
Yeah. It is. So I think they've actually done well. And the first movie I saw of Robert Pattinson where I was like, okay, this guy's a great actor, was Good Time, which I loved. The Safdie brothers, Good Time. I mean, Safdie brothers are great, but that's a really good movie. So I'm excited to see him as Batman. I've got high hopes for him, actually. I think this is going to be a very good movie. I think it comes out in the
cast is
summer.
Incredible.
The cast is really, really good, yeah. And it looks good. Like Paul Dano, I love Paul Dano. Zoe Kravitz as well, very good. Andy Serkis, very good. This is
directed by Matt Reeves, who did, I mean, the Planet of the Apes movies he made were fantastic, and he also did Cloverfield. I think he's a good director, so I'm also excited for that.
It's gonna be an interesting movie. Bit more of a DC fan myself, more of a Batman man than a Marvel man, so this is right up my alley.
Okay. There's so many movies I put on here, and we will talk about all of them. Maybe we'll skim through them at the end.
Yeah,
so we'll try to pick out which one I really want to talk about next. I'm going to talk about Crimes of the Future, which is directed by David Cronenberg. And the reason why this is one that I really want to talk about is because I thought the dude retired. I thought that Match to the Stars was his last movie. David Cronenberg's one of my favourites. And the fact that he's making one last movie with Viggo Mortensen, it's got a good cast. I don't know what it's about, and I don't want to know what it's about. But sign me up. David Cronenberg making a movie. I'm in. The dude has made some of the greatest movies that I've loved. So I'm looking forward to it. I'm really looking forward to another. That's one that, you know, I don't like to watch trailers. But that's one that I will watch. When that trailer drops, I will watch it.
Yeah, that's an interesting one because obviously he hasn't made a movie since 2014. So that is an interesting one. I'd be up for watching that as well. So that would be one final hurrah. It might not be a final, it might be the start of a comeback. You don't even know. But it probably is the last one. My final movie in my top five before we go to the honourable mentions is the new Judd Apatow movie, which is going to be distributed on Netflix this year. And it's called The Bubble. There isn't really a lot known about this movie, but I've always been a massive Judd Apatow fan. Like I think everything he's sort of like a director who I've kind of followed him quite religiously in terms of all the movies he's made, and the last movie he released was The King of Staten Island, which I loved that movie with Pete Davidson. That was brilliant. And I probably watched every single one of his movies, so he could be a good ranking list one day as well for me to do. Because
I think a lot of these are.
Yeah, he's got his new movie's called The Bubble, obviously exclusive to Netflix. And yeah, I'm just always intrigued to see what he does. Things like This Is 40, Funny People, I loved personally. I even like Trainwreck.
I like Trainwreck. Yeah. You know how I felt about Funny People. We discussed that.
I like that movie.
Great
a
movie.
Lot.
Way too long. Second half wasn't as good as the first half.
Yeah, I think he's good at making long movies, though. I expect The Bubble would be another long movie. But have you seen King of Staten Island yet? With Pete Davidson?
No, I haven't. That's good movie. Probably the only one I haven't seen.
Really good movie. I highly recommend that as well. So, yeah, this would be interesting to see. Obviously, it's got his daughter in it and his wife in it, Leslie Mann, Iris Apatow in it. As well, he likes having his kids and his wife, and it's like a big family affair when he makes a movie these days. So yeah, I'll be interested to see what this one is like. Co-written with Pam Brady as well. She's one of the people that worked on South Park with Trey Parker and Matt Stone. So yeah, it could be quite an interesting movie. She wrote the South Park movie, didn't she? She also wrote Hot Rod and Team America World Police. So she's done a lot of stuff with Parker and Stone. So this could be a good collaboration with Judd Apatow. We don't know. I'm intrigued.
We'll see what happens.
I'm intrigued to see what happens. So it's on my list.
Okay, so we'll go through a couple of honourable mentions, shall we? Just
go
quickly.
For it.
Babylon, Damien Chazelle.
Mm.
I think the dude, I mean, the movies he's making at the moment, I think this was like a hot script in Hollywood as well. So I think it's about old Hollywood, stars Brad Pitt, Margot Robbie. He's only, what, like 34 or something? And he's made some great movies. I mean, Whiplash, La La Land, he's a great director. Martin Scorsese's Killers of the Flower Moon.
Yeah.
Be interested to see what that one's like.
It's in mine as well.
I don't know if you saw this trailer, and this was a late inclusion onto the honourable mentions, called Everything Everywhere All at Once, directed by the Daniels. It's a weird, trippy multiverse movie. I've never seen their first movie, which was Swiss Army Man, which is about Paul Dano being trapped on an island with a dead Daniel Radcliffe, and they become friends and they try and escape the island. I've never seen it because it's so weird that I have to be in the right mood, and because I don't know when I'm ever in the right mood for something like that, so I haven't seen it yet. But I'm interested, that trailer looked fantastic. It looked weird, and it also looked like it could be absolutely terrible or absolutely great.
And
they're the best kind of movies.
That's an interesting one. I've got Spielberg's next movie coming out this year. The Fablemans, which is based on his childhood growing up in Arizona, has the likes of Seth Rogen, Paul Dano, Michelle Williams in it as well. So that sounds interesting, about Spielberg's childhood. So someone is going to be playing him. Gabrielle LaBelle is playing Spielberg in the movie. So that sounds interesting. It's like a coming of age. I love coming of age movies, so that's in there. Another one, The Black Phone with Ethan Hawke in it, which is a horror movie. That looks very interesting as a horror movie.
The poster looks very interesting.
Yeah, the poster does look interesting. But the kind of story is interesting as well. Just a victim who gets kidnapped and then is... I think the black phone rings and then it's people who he has kidnapped communicating with each other and stuff like that. It's kind of like... It seems odd. Knives Out 2 is another one. I really love Knives Out 1. Yep. So Knives Out 2 coming this year would be another interesting movie. Surprised me how much I enjoyed that movie. Is it Netflix now? They brought There you go, then, straight to Netflix. Wendell and Wilde, which is a Jordan Peele and Key.
I had that one.
A Peele and Key movie. Them two together in a movie. Brilliant. Every time. Keanu loved it. And obviously... Keelan Peele is iconic, so I'm looking.
Directed by Henry Selick, who did Nightmare Before Christmas and Coraline.
And it's kind of like, it kind of just sounds quite interesting, doesn't it? The whole story itself about two demon brothers, Keelan Peele. So it sounds
probably going to be quite scary.
Yeah, I think it would be a little bit. Well, I think it's stop motion, isn't it? So. It probably won't be as scary as you want it to be, but
I don't know. Coraline is a creepy movie.
Yeah.
That is a really creepy movie. So if it's anything like Coraline, it will be quite creepy.
It will be creepy
for kids, like if I was a kid, I'd love something like that. So I'm hoping it is.
Mm. That's another Netflix as well. Netflix. Do you know what?
Netflix, man.
It's going to be a big year. It's already been a big few years for them, but this seems like in terms of. Like original movies that they're releasing, they've got a lot of the anticipated movies, so
they're working with the right people.
Yeah, they're good. That's the thing. They're fair play to them. They're absolutely killing it, aren't they? Absolutely killing it.
Another Netflix one is David Fincher's new one, The Killer, which is going to be quite interesting with Michael Fassbender. I'd like to see that one. You've also got from Darren Aronofsky, The Whale, which stars an overweight man played by Brendan Fraser.
Yep.
So that might be a comeback performance for him. He looks like he's going to have a bit of a comeback year. You've got The Banshees of Inisherin, directed by Martin McDonagh, who did Three Billboards Outside Ebbing, Missouri. Great movie, so I can't wait to see that one as well.
Loads. There's a lot. Have you got any more for your list?
Loads. I've got loads. A weird one that I knew nothing about, The Munsters, directed by Rob Zombie. He's making a movie about the Munsters.
I didn't know that either.
You got to look out for that one. Another one by Don Bluth, and it's actually live action. Do you remember the video game Dragon's Lair? They're making a movie out of that.
It sounds like it could be a bad movie, that one. That sounds like
it could, but it's interesting.
That is interesting.
You've got Decision to Leave by Park Chan-wook. We like Park Chan-wook. Men by Alex Garland, another great director there. You've got Sarah Polley's Women Talking. Again, she's a great director. There's so many.
There's a lot.
I've still got more, but I'm not gonna bore you with a whole list because there's still loads.
There's a lot. There'll be a lot we haven't mentioned, but believe you me, I think this is going to be a good year because there's going to be a lot of movies that were probably delayed, or maybe a lot of scripts that were sat on and stuff like that.
I imagine some of these movies you might have to put an asterisk next to them because they probably might get delayed as well or pushed next year. So we'll see how many of these movies we've said will come out this year. We're hoping all of them do and more. And we're hoping for movies we don't know anything about to surprise us and wow us.
Yeah.
So, yeah, this could be an interesting year. Fingers crossed that this year is the year that movies come back to us in like full force.
Yeah, and I won't believe I'm watching Avatar until I'm in the seat in the cinema, popcorn in hand, and the movie begins. I feel like I would almost be trolled when I sit down and it would just be James Cameron in a seat saying, I know you all want to see Avatar 2, but I've instead used the money to make another movie about the life under the sea. So come with me and explore the Pacific Ocean. That's what I imagine will happen. But hopefully Avatar 2 isn't there. But that moves us.
It'd just be like puppets. It'd just be sock puppets. Just, hey, so what? We spent 10 years with sock puppets? Oh, the technology isn't there yet.
We're still building the camera. We'll get to it. I guess that moves us over to what we'll be watching next week. Back to regular programming. And the movie that we are going to watch. And I thought this year I really wanted to see a lot of movies that were newer. I think last year we focused on a lot of obscure movies. And I'd like to pick a few more movies this year that potentially will be movies that we remember for the rest of our lives. rather than that movie about that boar. And
that boar was a good boar.
A terrible movie. Now, this is a Netflix movie.
I liked it. I actually liked the movie. I think you're wrong to piss on boar.
But the movie I'm going to select is a movie that came out at the end of last year. We've mentioned it on today's episode. And we both haven't seen it. So I thought perfect movie to watch then. And that is The Lost Daughter on Netflix. So that is a movie we're going to watch. Just in case you haven't seen it, it seems very eerie. This movie, quite a tense movie. It's about a college professor who confronts her unsettling past after meeting a woman and her young daughter while on vacation in Italy. Her obsession with the woman and her daughter prompts memories of her early motherhood. So, a lot of mystery with this movie. It's directed by Maggie Gyllenhaal. Everyone will know who she is, the sister of Jake Gyllenhaal, and it'd be interesting to see one of her. Have I seen one of her movies before? Let me have a look. I'm trying to think if I have or not seen one of her movies.
You would have.
In terms of like movies that she's actually directed. How many movies has she directed?
I don't know. I think that's her first.
It's her first one.
Movie, but she's an actress and she made a lot of
movies.
She made a lot of movies.
I didn't know if she'd made any other movies apart from this in terms of.
I think this is her first. Director, yeah. Or maybe her first feature one.
This will be interesting then. We'll see. But yeah, that's the movie we're going to watch. It's on Netflix. So go watch it.
I'm interested. I have wanted to see it, so I was probably going to watch it this week anyway.
There you go. Perfect. It's aligned perfectly. Right. We'll see you next week where we'll be back to our normal weekly episodes. And we've both had COVID now, so we've got that out of the way. So we can move on with our lives. Thank God.
We hope.
If another variant comes out, we get that. Bloody hell. That's one thing I don't want to be. That's things we don't want to see released in 2022. New variants. We've had enough sequels, all right? It's getting a bit old. You know, it's just the storyline isn't as good as it was before. You know, it's just not. It's not the same as the original one, you know? Just not the same. So we'd like to stop there with those, if possible.
Yes, I agree. I agree with that.
All right. We'll see you guys next week. Goodbye.
Bye-bye.